Blog Talk Radio.
Of the true Israelites with your host, the seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live Yahweh Radio. Worldwide International Radio Broadcast is now on the air. I'll be your host. Part three, revealing the number of the beast, 666, the son of perdition. I be your host by name, Seer Israel, C. Roy. And we're going to bring our elder in and, on the international side, over 900,000 plus and counting. Here, do you like to know exactly how many have been added? Well, whenever you decide to add on to it, it's up to you. WCC, 500 million minimum. All right, we're going to bring our LDN. This is the third part of revealing the numbers, the number of the beats, God of perdition. All right, that's our LDN. We bring him in. He'll tell you all about it, and we'll get our chances. Get ourselves a chance to unwind and listen to the elder set the stage. And the elder going to look at old Rover, tell Rover be all right. And we're going to get into up the book in a minute. So when you meet our elder with a loud voice, you say, Elder, Mr. Tim Israel. Yahweh be there, see right.
And Yahweh bless you, see Israel, receive well. Hallelujah. Yahweh.
Hallelujah, there, yo. Well, I know one thing, the foxtail have been lit, hell went up. All we got to do now is organize up under Yahweh's word. Almighty going to intervene as he shows the six anointed camps exactly what he's going to do according to the scriptures. And I think just to bring it and put it right in the eyes, in the minds of those who got an ear to hear. So, Elder, what have you got to tell this national audience over 900,000 plus and counting. The WCC said we got the actual figure, but we ain't going to tell you right there because it might go to your head. So take your time, Al, and tell everybody what the Almighty will put on you to tell them on take three of revealing the number of the beast, 666, the thorn of perdition. Come on.
Well, once again, Yahweh bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into tonight's broadcast. And as you say, among a cast of over 900,000 members. And that's a lot of words that want to hear the words of Yahweh. That's a lot of people that want to hear those words. And I tell you, that is a good thing. Because you got a lot of people that's preaching the word out there. And what they're doing is bringing non-righteous teaching. But sometimes they say, well, we don't like the way the seer sounds. Or the elder don't sound right when he's explaining stuff. Well, that means they need to read 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 6. 6 says, but though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have thoroughly been made manifest among you in all things. And that's one of the reasons why we bring you the words intensely as we do. Even the elders working on the video for the temple, and he just about got that finished. Might show that on one of the Sabbath days. But anyway, like I said, you have preachers, deacons, pastors out there teaching the word. And they're teaching the wrong thing. I read into that at least 3 or 4 times during the week. And what they're reading and interpreting is leading people in the wrong direction. Just like it tells you in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verse number 32. 32 says, and the place of the scripture where he's read was this. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb for his shears. So he opened up not his mouth. And that's generally what you have to do when you're learning this word, and you're trying to share it with someone else. You have to have big ears and little mouth, and you often hear us say that each time we run the broadcast. We usually say that. Have big ears and little mouth. Because that entrance, therefore, to righteousness is very narrow. Because when you don't have any guidance, you can fall off either direction into spiritual death, like it tells you in 2 Esther chapter 7, verse number 7 and 8. Now let's see. 7 says, the entrance, therefore, is narrow and set in a dangerous place to fall, like if there was fire on the right hand and on the left, deep water. 8. And only one path between them both, the fire and the water, so small, there could only be but one man go there at once. And that's what we try to tell you. There's one way to go, and that's a narrow pathway. And when you're led by someone that knows the word, you have to be aware that knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts. See, we're given the knowledge to know we have those out there that camouflage the evil or confused teaching and use them in overly loud bump-the-gums contests for their method of righteous learning. Whoever can talk the loudest must be right. Well, even using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons against those of us that think we know. But it's hard to get past those that do know, that are versed in the word. You know, because every spirit that confessed that, hey, they come in the flesh, they're the Yahweh. Well, 1 John chapter 4, verse 3, what does that say? And every spirit that confessed not that Yahweh the Son has come in the flesh is not that of Yahweh. This is the spirit of the anti-Yahweh. Well, you have heard that it should come, even now it's already in the world. And that's the reason why we're covering this 666, to let you know what it is. And if you've been listening to the broadcast, you would know what we identified the 666 as being. So we're here to help guide you through these dark times of bad teaching, loud bump the gums for supposedly righteous learning and Christianity. We welcome and thank all of you for attending another live broadcast of Yahweh's Ministry. We come to you live and hope to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible, and first and foremost about Yahweh's Word. And as I said, learning how to connect the books, your health, foods that you should eat, and keeping the Sabbath days. All this is done because you have not. And you have to seek no further. You've now found that in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of Yadav. We're open unto you on the normal days of, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And those days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Having no class on Tuesday unless we have a high day or a special event. Now, Sabbath class we do have. And the top part of Sabbath is Friday. That class time starts at 7:30 to 10:30. And the bottom part of the Sabbath is Saturday. There's a temple class that starts at 12 p.m. and an online class that starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until our temple members desire to leave. We even have a website address. To use this on any search engine, put in on that search line, tribeyada.com. And after you click on it, look for tribeyada.com-Israelites. When you do that, just under the big line, you'll see some choices, one being tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. Now, on any other device, you might see menu. Clicking this, you'll still see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. In doing so, remember what it says in the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7, and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahweh, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahweh glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahweh the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Now, I always remind everyone to remember that Yahweh loves a cheerful giver. And also donations that's given to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give to the Bible scriptures, which are read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you thus as Yahweh alive. Also for building a school, a banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods. We continue to speak up for this program. We even have a calendar. While there, check out our calendar. It will help keep you, your family, and friends the Bible feast days that come to us throughout the year. We also have a live program, which is available during our live broadcast time. Just enter three words to get there on your search line, on your cell phone, your computer, or any one of your smart devices. Enter Yahweh Radio Live, and after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, tribe of Yadav. Click the red live button as soon as it appears. You'll be right into our live online broadcast. Now, we even have a few numbers you can call with Yahweh in mind. The first is our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This is our international line. This is where you can call and leave a message on those scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the six anointed camps of Yahweh's ministry. But also in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. You will only hear a discouraging click followed by a dial tone. Also, by calling that same number, you can order what our members know as the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. On another note, we have to ask you, please do not contact us here via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. The reason for this is usually pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, announcing many memos, and now even in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if that question is legit, you will receive a call back, unless you call trying to teach. As I said, you'll only hear a discouraging dial tone. Now, if you happen to miss the beginning of today's program, you can catch the entire recorded show at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time for repeating is after 10:30. Now, during our normal Blog Talk broadcasts, we're also simultaneously transmitting our program on Pal Talk. It can be logged in by your phone, your tablet, computer, even your smartwatch. Just download the Pal Talk app We will be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of God Down. You'll find once you get there, our room will hold 50 or more listening participants, where Yahuwah's Word will also be working for your Bible education. And online there to answer any of the on-the-table topics that we discuss will be Elder Mr. Tibbs Israel, along with the Seer Israel, riding a shotgun. And during this time, we'll be taking no comments off the topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And if God Talk ends before teaching time, we will continue our teaching on Pal Talk. But a continuing reminder that we give is when we're given the scriptures to speak by the seer, be quick to hear and slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah will flow smoothly, remembering that we have over 900,000 listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah and not that of confusion. I give a reminder, usually in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. But anyway, we shall turn our program back over to our seer Israel, and where the teaching can yet begin, and say hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, yeah, Elder, that was excellent on your part, Elder. So we'll give you a chance to spread some more books out and get all comfortable in. Because one thing about this series right here, you know, a lot of people's going to shy away from this thing because it's going to reveal some things that we, how can I put it? You know, how can I put it? I don't know how to put it, but it's going to shy away because the listeners of big dignitaries, especially Susan Cook, I mean Mrs. Cook, big dignitary out of, well, that, you know, Miss Cook, she says that they are the alternative for the apologetics too. But they are called a up and coming group, and that's all I can say right now. So, but like I said again, we got to do a lot of work there, Elder. And when they shy away and give voices and stuff like that, we got to respect that. We got to respect some things. Well, I know we talk all around the corner, but we're trying to let you know this information that the Voices of the True Israelites going to bring out, it will step on a lot of toes. Because when the truth comes out, exactly who everybody is, they're going to show you who everybody ain't. So that's good enough. We leave it like that. So the NACCC, I mean NACCC, is well and unified for this series. So that's all we can say right now. And so take your time, Nail. We're going to need all the Luke 12 we can get. And then we're just going to get at this. Because like I said, I'm not planning on announcing any what I think, what I feel. I wait and I do it through the spirit of Yahuwah when we deal with this. And only way we can be persuaded that we have to read something. Now, when we read something with the precept, and you can bring that on the table, then that's good. Then I can consider that if I can read what you're saying, not what we've been taught all our life. So, Elder, all I can tell you, although I've been speaking all around the corner, but we just get off into some good stuff by going to Luke chapter 12, verse 12. Take your time, Elder, and we'll see where we're going until The wheel fall off. Come on.
Okay, in the book of Luke, looking at chapter 12 and verse number 12 says, "For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say."
Mm-hmm. The righteous spirit is going to teach you, and that's the key, Dale. And we know the series are here. We don't know how long it's going to be, but if we have an ear to hear, a lot of things going to be, and we're going to just take our time in this series and just slow walk this information down. So we open up and take number 3, or revealing the number of the beast 666, the son of perdition. That's big talking there, you know. That's a whole lot of big talking there. So we're going to look at, did you give me Luke 12 already? I got excited already.
Hallelujah, I gave you Luke 12:12, but you were trying to throw a particular word in there to answer for something that you were thinking about at first. And that has to do with Ecclesiastes or Sirach 21:15. Tell you right there, you know, those that don't want to hear what you're saying, they cast it behind their back. That's why they don't understand it.
Well,
already written.
Yeah, well, in this case, they do want to hear what we're saying because they have already built up with their technology on this right here. I want to open up there, Elder, in a verse in 2 Kings chapter 10:16. Before you do that, let's even get Mother E. So Mother E, looks here. We know this is a big series coming up. And anything I can do to help, I'll be right there to do my part in it and grass out Mother E and Mother B. So we know that's a great thing. Let's see if we get Mother in to make sure Mother is Mother E and Mother B. So Mother E, tribe of Yahzad Judah, one of the mothers out of Camp 1, say, Mother E, Yahweh bless you, S.E. Roy.
Yahweh bless you, S.E. Israel, S.E. Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh there, Mother. Well, Mother, one thing we say, this series right here that we're on right now is going to open up a lot of eyes on those that got an ear to hear, and all hands should be on deck for this series, but a lot of hands is not on deck for this series. But one thing we do know, the elder, Mr. Chibbs, he's ready to go. And Mother E's ready to go. And Mother Z. Hey, Mother Z, tribe of Yahweh, God, Judah. Y'all probably be there, see you right.
Not here right now, see ya.
All right. Good enough. So when you do get in, just give me hallelujah, Yahweh, and we'll bring her in. They're hollering that microphone. We're going to take our time and deal with this series. But what I want to do is open up with the elder. In 2 Kings, chapter 10, verse 16, down to 25, and Mother E, pick up at verse 26 down to verse 30. I just want to put some on the table. In 2 Kings, chapter 10:25 there, L, Mr. Chills, and Mother going to pick it up at 26 down to verse 30. No fair, you're going to try to come out.
The book of 2 Kings, chapter 10, reading verses 16 to 25. 16 says, "And he said, come in with me and see my zeal for the Yahweh. So they made him ride in his chariot. 17. And when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Abba in Samaria. And he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Yahuwah, which spake Elijah. 18. When Judah gathered all the people together and said unto them, Abba, serve Bala a little, but Judah shall serve him much. 19. Now therefore call unto me all the prophets, seers of Baal, and all his servants, and all his priests. Let none be warning or waiting, for I have great sacrifice to do to Baal. Whosoever shall be warning, he shall not live. But Jehu did it suddenly, to intend that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. 20. And Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. And they proclaimed it. 21. And Jehu sent through all Israel, and all the worshippers of Baal came, so that there was not a man left that came not. And they came unto the house of Baal, and the house of Baal was full from one end to another. 22. And he said unto him, that was over the vestments. Bring forth vestments for all the worshippers of Baal. And he brought them forth vestments. Then Jehu went to Jehonadab, the son of Rechab, into the house of Baal, and said unto the worshippers of Baal, search and look where you be with you. None of the servants of the Yahuwah, but the worshippers of Baal only. 24. And when they went into offering sacrifices and burnt offerings, Jehu appointed 80 men without and said, if any of the men whom I have brought unto you, into your hands, escape, he that letteth him go, his life shall be in for the life of him. 25. And it came to pass, as soon as he had made the end of offering the burnt offering, that Jehu said unto the guard of the captains, go in and slay them, let none of them come forth. And they smote them with the edge of the sword. And the guard and the captains cast them out and went into the city and the house of Baal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hold that point right there. You know, come back and read that, verse 16 again. Now, this is Jehu, and Jehu made a profound statement at Elder. Now, what did he say to the men? What did he say again to the men that he had put together in 10:16?
In 10:16, he said, and he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Yahuwah. So they made him ride in his chariot.
So Jehu said to the men, come and see my zeal. And see, that's one thing we got to have is Yahuwah's zeal. See, nonchalant ain't going to cut it. We got to have Yahuwah's zeal. His zeal to me is to come and see. But we need a little more history on that before we bring Mother in. Where did Jehu get this information from? Then he put these men together to come see his zeal. His zeal. See, that's one thing about it. When you teaching or doing the work of Yahuwah, you must have zeal. You can't be nonchalant in this thing right here. You got to treat this right here like this is your last, or it could be your last. Matter of fact, hey, Mother E, put your marker there, Mother E, and can you give me St. John 7, verse 6? Mother E, put a marker right in there, one of them five markers you got, and give me St. John 7, verse 6.
Thank God. Silver 60 or 6?
6-0. I mean, just 6 plain. Just plain 6.
Okay.
Chapter 7, verse number 6.
St. John chapter 7, verse 6, read. St. John chapter 7, verse 6. Then Yahweh said unto them, my time is not yet come, but your time is always ready.
Mm-hmm. He said, your time haven't come, but our time is always ready. So what we have to do, if you're going to be part of the kingdom to come, you have to raise your level up with your zeal. Your zeal got to be raised up a little bit. I mean, you got to have zeal for this right here. Because it's the honor for the Almighty to chose a people called the Six Anointed Camps to deal with what we're doing now. This supposed to be an honor. And those that participate in this, supposed to give it all they got. Like this man called Jehu. Now, we want to go back and give a little history on Jehu now, Elder. Before we bring Mother in for 26 down to verse 30, I need a little background information. You know, when you go into your job, they run your background. We want to run and see. Why did he say to the men, come and see my zeal? We go on to the 9th chapter of 2 Kings there, Elder. And we'll pick up verse 1. Let's read down to find out why he had so much zeal. He put some men together and said, hey, y'all come go with me for y'all can see my zeal. Let's see. We're going to 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 1, Elder. We'll read down to this man and find out why he got so much zeal and to do what. Pick it up at 9, verse 1, and read with it, Elder. Come on. Elder, look at him. 2 Kings 9, verse 1. Let's do a little reading, Elder.
Okay, 2 Kings, chapter 9, reading 1 to 3. One says, and Elijah, the prophet, called one of the children of the prophets and said unto him,
Hold on. That is Elisha and Elisha the seer. Elisha the seer is the one on the scene right now. So now, but we want to find out what message that he has, Elisha the seer. Let's find out what's going on with Elisha the seer. 9 verse 1 again. Here, take your time. We try to lay a little groundwork and find out why do Jehu have so much zeal on what he's getting ready to do that Mother get ready to read after we lay the foundation. Why he got so much zeal? 9 verse 1. Elisha the seer. Come on.
1-3. One says, and Elisha.
Hold on, yo. We didn't say about no 1-3. We just said figure verse 1. We can read till we get our point. So in 2 Kings chapter 9, figure verse 1, and let's see what Elisha the seer got on his mind that we can read. We're going to read down till we get our point. Come on.
Okay. Starting in verse 1. And Elisha the seer called one of the children of the seers, and said unto him, gird up thy loins, this box of oil in thy hand, and go to Ramon Gilead. 2. And when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brothers, and carry him to the inner chamber. 3. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head and say, thus says the Yahuwah, I have anointed thee king over Israel. Then open the box and flee and tarry not. 4. So the young man, even the young man, the seer, went to Ramon Gilead. 5. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting, and he said, I have errand to thee. O captain, Jehah said unto which of us? And he said, to thee, O captain. 6. And he arose and went into the house, and he poured the oil on his head, and said unto him, thus saith the Yahuwah of Israel, I have anointed thee king over the people of the Yahuwah, even over Israel. 7. And thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants of the seers, and the blood of all the servants of the Yahuwah, at the hand of Jezebel. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisses against the wall, and him that shut up and left in Israel. 9. And I will make the house.
Good. That's it right there. So now we got the background of Jehu. Jehu, he was the captain of the host of Israel. So now we got his background. But Yahuwah told Elisha the seer, I want you to anoint him to be king over Israel, northern king. And I want him to do something for me, and don't let nobody live, even those that piss against the wall. I want all them dead too. So Jehu was anointed king over the northern kingdom of Israel. His job was to go kill Jezebel. His job was to remove Jezebel from office. So when he was anointed king, his first assignment was to go get some men together and tell the men exactly what the seer told him to say. When you start killing that, no, anybody affiliated with Jezebel and Ahab, invite them all down to one place, because they all worshiping Baal. Baal is Satan of death. Mm-hmm. I want all them in one place, and I want every last one of them killed for going against the Yahuwah of Israel. Ahab was the king. Jezebel was running him. I want them dead. That's what he said. So he knew he was king. He knows his first assignment was to do some killing. So he went and got him so many men and said, come on with me and see my zeal. So I'm going to tell you men that with me. When we get every Baal-worshipping shepherd, pastor, pope, leader in one place, if you let any last one of them come out alive, then you're going to die. That's the zeal that Yahuwah is talking about. When it comes down to Yahuwah's business, you got to give it all you got. You can't be thumbing around with this thing, because this can be your last time that you ever open your mouth. So you give it all you got. That's why we don't back down from any when it comes down to Yahuwah's business. He blessed his ministry to deliver this knockout blow on the series we're doing called Revealing the Number of the Beast, 666. and it says the son of perdition. We got to make it plain, but we got to have those that will participate raise their level up and show their zeal in doing their part in thus says Yahweh. That's all we're saying. So now, we don't sit the groundwork down. So Jehu has stated, he's the king now. He was the captain. He said, look here, I'm anoint you men to come go with me and see my zeal. I'm going to tell you men something. Make sure you got your act prepared to do what Yahweh wants to be done. He don't want nobody that's a part of Ahab, Jezebel, Baal teaching, that means up on the Satan, the devil. I want them all dead. All of them dead. If you let any of them get away, then you going to die. That big talk, yeah. So now the stage is set to bring mother in for verse 26 down to verse 30. Now the stage is set. Now we're going to 2 Kings 10. So now we got the background on everything. So what Yahweh requires of us is to have passion about his word, just like Jehu said to the men, come and see my zeal. And my zeal, I'm going to be a killing machine. That's what he said. That's what he said. Now, mother, get ready to pick it right back up at 2 Kings 10. Pick it with verse number 26 out of verse 30. Take your time there, mother. We'll lay the foundation on it. All Yahweh requires one thing. Give it all you got, and that's good enough. Yahweh knows you're giving your best. 26 out of verse 30, mother, you're on the clock. Come on.
2 Kings chapter 10, verse 26 to 30. Verse 26. And they brought forth the images out of the house of Baal and burnt them. 27. And they break down the images of Baal and break down the house of Baal and made it a dungeon house unto this day. 28. Thus Jehu destroyed Baal out of Israel. 29. How be it from the sins of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin?
That's right.
Jehu departed not from after them, to wit, the gold calves that were in Bethel, and that were in Dan. Verse 30. And Yahweh said unto Jehu, because thus have done well in executing that which is right in my eyes, and have done unto the house of Ahab according to all that was in my mind, their children of the fourth generation shall sit on the throne of Israel.
Ain't that something? But wait a minute, Errol. What did he do well according to that made Yahweh so proud of him? Then told him, for the next fourth generation, all your grandbabies gonna sit on that throne of the northern kingdom because you done well. What did he do in chapter 10, verse number 16 down to verse 20? What did he do to make Yahweh so proud to see him do? What did he do, Elder? 2 Kings 10, 16 down to verse 20. Take your time, Elder, and let's see what he did to make Yahweh put so much, pat him on his back, bring them all up, and he very happy with it. What did he do? Come on. Come on, Elder.
to verse number 20, 16 to 20.
Mm-hmm.
16 says, so Jehu rode in the chariot and went to Jezreel for Joram and lay there. And Azariah, the king of Judah, was come down to see Joram. 17, and there stood a watchman, Jezreel, and he spied
what you read? Are you reading 2 Kings chapter 10, 16, out of verse 20?
No, I'm going to chapter 10. I was in 2 Kings. I do apologize to the listening audience. Chapter 10, looking at 16 to 20. Let's try this again. 16, and he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Yahweh. So they made him ride in his chariot. 17. And when he came to Samaria, he slew all that remained unto Ahab in Samaria, till he had destroyed him, according to the saying of the Yahweh, which he spake to Elijah. 18. Then Jehu gathered all the people together and said unto him, Ahab served Baal a little, but Jehu shall serve him much. 19. Now therefore call unto me all the seers of Baal and all his servants and all his priests. Let none of them be warning, for I have a great sacrifice to do with Baal. Whosoever shall be warning, he shall not live. But Jehu did it subtly, to an intent that he might destroy the worshippers of Baal. 20. And Jehu said, O king, a solemn assembly for Baal, and they proclaimed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but in this case here, the only seer in this case right here is Elisha in 10:1. And always Elisha will be replaced through death. So in this case, you're talking about the pastors, the popes, everybody else that affiliated with Ahaz and them, they was up on the stage of the devil. So he wasn't going to destroy no seer in this case. He was going to destroy some shepherds, bishops, teachers, popes, in this case, because the seer was Elisha that sent one of his sons out there to anoint Jehu, the captain, to get him prepared. And he said, I fulfill what Yahweh had written. Now, I want to read one more time what Yahweh told the seer to tell his son, and Jehu fulfilled it, and Yahweh got happy. Now, come back to the 9th chapter of 2 Kings, Elder. Come back to the 9th chapter, and I want to read 7 down to verse number 11. Come back to 2 Kings, and I want to see what was Yahweh so happy behind Elisha, because Yahweh knows who he wants to take care of his business, and he rewarded him big time. So come back to 2 Kings 9 and pick it back up at verse number 7 to 11. Take the time to 7 down to verse 11. Let's see why Yahweh was so happy with Elisha sending his son to anoint the captain to be king over the northern kingdom. Come on. 7 down to verse 11. He'll come out.
Okay. 2 Kings 9, reading 7 to 11. 7 says, and thou shalt smite the house of Ahab, thy master, that I may avenge the blood of my servants. the prophets, and the blood of all the servants of the Yahweh at the hand of Jezebel. 8. For the whole house of Ahab shall perish, and I will cut off from Ahab him that pisses against the wall, and him that is shut up and left in Israel. 9. I will make the house of Ahab like the house of Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, like all the house of Baasha, the son of Isaiah. And the dogs shall eat Jezebel in the portion of Jeriel, and there shall be none to bury her, and he shall open the door and fled. 11. Then Jehu came forth to the servants of his Yahweh, and one said unto him, Is all well? Wherefore came this mad fellow to thee? And he said unto them, Ye know the man and his communication.
Give me 12 and 13, Elder.
And he said, This is false. Tell us now. And he said, Thus, and thus spake me to me, saying, Thus saith the Yahweh, I have anointed thee king over Israel. 13. They that has haste took every man his garment and put it under him on the top of the stairs, and blew up trumpets, saying, Jehu is king.
You see that? So that's going to get dramatic. That's big stuff right there. So the order of things is the seer must first move through Yahweh, and once he anoints to take care of his business, they have just as much power to do so as he sent his son to anoint the captain, and his job was to avenge him on what Jezebel did by killing the brother with the vineyard, but we don't get off into that. And so Jezebel done a lot of killing upon the Baal, Satan the devil, and Ahab, her better had watched her ran the northern kingdom, and he didn't say nothing, period. So Yahweh said plainly, I don't want nothing tied to their hips to be listened. And I want, when you kill Jezebel, I'm going to have some dogs with their mouth open, throw her out of the window, and I'm going to make sure nobody even look for a grave, because everything she got belongs to her will be the dog's mouth. You can pass some dogs to have their mouth open. And when Jezebel was thrown out the window, the dogs ate her all the way up. So you can't go visit her grave. Well, dog got her in the belly for what she did. So Jehu became king of the northern kingdom, taking Ahab's place. And he said, come and see my zeal. His zeal was to be a killing machine, because the northern kingdom was worse than saving the devil upon a Jezebel, the woman. You got it? Good. Now, we got that part of the way. So what we're trying to say, when it comes out of Yahweh's business, we got to show our zeal for his business. Because we've been chosen to, like, Jehu was anointed to go show his zeal. We have been anointed to show our zeal on unlocking the revealing the number of the beast 666, although we're getting hit on every side by a lot of big dignitaries. The NACCC, big organization out of Philadelphia, executive director, said, we need to join them. Is that so? Because we know what the mark of the beast is. I said, oh, really? Do you know what the mark of the beast is? You will find out. Just stay tuned and listen and we're going to show you our zeal on teaching this lesson. So now that's good. So now we're going to show our zeal by revealing who really is the number of the beast, 666, the son of perdition. Hey, Mother E, now we're going to go and look at Thessalonians chapter 2, Mother. We're going to look at verse 1, 2, and 3. See, now we're going to show our zeal on breaking down and going to love every minute of it by showing our zeal. So now we're going to show our zeal, Mother. We're going to Thessalonians chapter 2, 1, 2, and 3. What does it say?
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3.
Yes,
2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Yahweh, the Son, and by our gathering together unto him, verse 2, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by words, nor by matter upon us, as that the day of Yahweh is at hand. Verse 3, let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
Hey, Dessa. He said, it got to be a falling away first. So, Elder, we clear that the falling away happened in Luke 21, verse 24. We clear that the falling away have happened. How we know that? We go to Luke, Elder, and we'll look at verse number 21, verse 24. We're going to read with some zeal and take care of this business. 21, verse 24. Let's see what we do know. 21, verse 24, yo.
Okay, in the book of Luke, looking at chapter 21, verse 24. 24 says, and they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive unto all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
You see that? But he said, until I fall away. Fall away from what? Who has to fall away? In 70 AD, Judah, Benjamin, and Levi had to fall away. They no longer in rulership in Judah, southern king. They've been scattered to every nation. So the fall away have happened. It happened in 70 AD. So that part have happened. But they said the son of perdition, and the word perdition means destruction. The son of destruction has to be revealed. See, the son of destruction must be revealed. So part one of it don't happen, and that's 70 AD. But the second part have not happened. The son of perdition have not been revealed. And that's what this series is all about, revealing mother. Mother E, read verse 3 again. That big reading you're doing, Mother. And verse 3, read it again.
Okay. Let me get back to Ephesians.
No. Ephesians 2, verse 3.
Okay, let me get back to having to put some mark in there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3 reads, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, let no man deceive you by any means, For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man
that
of
day
sin
what?
Be revealed.
What say, mother?
The son. Amen.
Now look at the wise men being jingled. The wise now being jingled a little bit.
Okay. You want me to read it over?
Yes, ma'am. Read that verse again, mother.
Okay. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
That man of sin got to be revealed. The son of destruction. Hey, Elder, look up on your telephone and tell me when the origin of Pledge of Allegiance, the Plague of Allegiance, that, you know, we sung in school, the Plague of Allegiance. It's a flag. We put our hand on our chest, on our heart, the PLEDGE of Allegiance, ALLEGIANCE, PLEDGE of ALLEGIANCE. What that mean? The plague of legion. What that mean? I don't know what that mean, Al. And we're gonna take our time and walk this thing down. I wanna know what that mean. What is the origin and where did this come from? Because we know we in school we stand up and put our hand on our heart and say, I pledge allegiance to the flag. I want to know about that. I want to know what kind of history you got on it, the etymology on it, the history of a legion. But you got to take your time and let's walk this down because we're going somewhere. But we got to bring that in right now, spirit led through Yahweh. The PLEDGE of ALLEGIANCE. What that mean, Hill? Come on.
Okay, first of all, I was making sure I was not in the mute. So we'd be muted for a few minutes. But the Pledge of Allegiance was something that they used to do in schools as part of what the definition is.
Well,
and it stopped it because
up.
Of people.
Hey,
I'm pulling
hey,
it up. So I already have it up. It's
we want to know the origin of where it comes from. We want to know the origin of where it comes from. Okay, now we want to know.
I'm saying that. The Pledge of Allegiance was written in 1892 by Francis Bellamy to commemorate 400th anniversary of Columbus' first voyage. That was when it first started.
1892. And we pledged allegiance for what reason? Can you give me what reason why we do it? What reason why we do it in school again? What are we doing? Go ahead.
It was for the anniversary of Columbus' first voyage to the Americas.
Okay. Well, I need a little bit more. I mean, I'm going to break it down a little bit more. The Pledge of Allegiance of the United States, the allegiance is to the flag of the United States, the Republican of which we stand, the Republican. And we read, and last lesson, the Republican came out wrong. So when we pledge an allegiance to the flag, and you see that in all sports and everything else, that came like the elder say in 1892, but we pledged allegiance to the United States of the Republican of the United States of which we stand. Republican. The key word is Republican. And we read in last lesson that the Republican Senate, all that came out of Rome. So when we pledged allegiance to the flag, it was set up by ancient Rome, and it was picked back up in 1892. So when you're pledging your allegiance to the United States, of which we stand, to the flag of the United States of Republican. See, the key word is Republican. And we read in Monday lesson, we read where that was set up in Rome. And this is the revived Roman Empire. So in 1892, this was revived back from ancient Rome. That's the point. Republican traced back to ancient Rome. Republican, the Senate, all that replaced back to ancient Rome. So this is what we in now is we in the revived Roman Empire. Because they revived it right back in 1892. That song was already on the books that was set up by Rome. So the system we in now is called a revive of the Roman Empire. So when Mother read the Son of Perdition has to be revealed, and the Son of Perdition is system must be revealed. Somebody revived the system in 1892. What system? A pledge of allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republican. So you pledge it to Rome. That's what we want. We want to show you what you know. That is the system. And that system was revived in 1892. And what was the man's name that revived again, Elder? For teaching's sake, what is the man's name that revived Republican of ancient Rome? What's the man's name in 1892? What's the name again, Elder, for teaching's sake? Elder, Mr. Kidd. What is the main name that revived the Roman Empire on pledging your allegiance to the flag of the United States? What was the man's name again?
Francis Bellamy.
Francis Bellamy of what year again, Elder?
Okay, Francis Bellamy. Of
1892. X. Now that's X. So now you know Francis Bellamy of 1892 revived the system of I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of Republican. Monday lesson show you the Republican, the Senate House, was set up by Rome. So when you pledge your allegiance to the flag, remember, that's coming out of revived ancient Rome, set up 1892. Good. All right, good. That's what we want. That's what we want to exit. So now, Mother. So it says Son of Perdition, that means destruction. Perdition means destruction. Let's get a little bit more on that, Mo. Let's go to end time prophecy now. We go on to Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. end time prophecy. That's how we going, Mother. So now we're working on something. We land the foundation so that man of sin must be revealed. The word, A-L, look up the word called perdition. P-E-R-D-I-T-I-O-N. What do that word mean? The son of perdition. What that word means? P-E-R-D-I-T-I-O-N. What that word mean, L? The sign of that word means. Elder, Mr. Kidd, we're going to find out what that word means. The son of perdition. What that word perdition means. P-E-R-D-I-T-I-O-N. What that word means, Elder? You got it, Elder? Hey, Elder, you got it? How about a hallelujah? Why have you got it? Why I got delay in his microphone now, WCC? I'm getting a delay in the Elder's microphone. So I want to really put this out slow and lay the foundation. Because we need to know, they said these two parts must happen. One part has already happened. The children of the South Kingdom have been totally destroyed. Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. They no longer in rulership in the Southern Kingdom. We're clear about that. So that part has happened. But this son of addition have not been revealed. What that word mean, Elder? Well, see, to me, I can't get nothing out there, Elder, because the WCC is delaying his microphone, so a lot of things I'm not going to be able to get out in this lesson by delaying his microphone like that. So, Mother, let's put that to the side, and we just come to 17, verse number 8. 17, verse 8.
Okay, Revelation chapter 17. Boy, I turned away from it. Revelation chapter 17, verse 8 reads. Revelation chapter 17, verse 8. The beast that thou sawest was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast that was and is not and yet is.
Now, Mo, that's great. Big talk with that, Mo. Now, Mo, we gonna take our time because right now, you know, the big dignitary is jiggling the wires, Mother. See, you know, we heading on something, Mother, so you know we will get all kind of jiggling the wires. So right now it's going to be you and myself to have to do the best we can on this lesson revealing the son of addition. The word addition means destruction. That was the word mean. I was going to hear it. Said without that word name. So the son is destruction. And this son is what you call today the system. The system. This is a system. It's not no individual person. It is the whole system. It's a system. Told a system. Now I want to come back and read that verse again, Mother, real slow. Because we're gonna take our time and stay in that verse a little bit. And where we at again? What was that verse again? 17, verse 8. So let's analyze this 17, verse 8. 17, verse 8. Take your time.
Revelation. Revelation, chapter 17, verse 8. Verse 8 reads, the beast that thou sawest was, and he is not. And
so I won't take it apart. So we might spend a lot of time on the dread mother. Because there's no need of going no further until we break down just a little bit. And it says in 17 verse 8, the beast that thou saw it was and is not. And that's big talk with your mother. See, right there, we got to stay right there for a minute. It was, but it is not. What are you talking about? See, let's go, mother, and find out something that we need to know. It was and is not. It says the beast that thou saw it was and is not. That's a big topic, that mother. What do you mean? Let's back up to, put your marker there, mother. Let's back up to Daniel, chapter 7.
Okay.
Chapter 7, verse 17. Let's back up to Daniel, chapter 7, verse 17.
Daniel chapter 7, verse 17. Daniel chapter 7, verse 17 reads, these great beasts, which are both of four kings, which shall rise out of the earth.
These beasts are four kings. Four kings. So these beasts you're talking about, it's four kings, and they're going to come out of the earth. So we have to know who these four beasts is going to come out of the earth. The first beast, for time's sake, we just got this, you know, was Greek. Alexander the Greek, sends of Esau. That was the first king, Alexander. Then, who bumped off Alexander was the Roman Empire. The Romans bumped him off. And they ruled. So John is saying, that in verse 8, the beast that thou sawest and is not, even you know this beast that you saw it was the Roman Empire. But he says, out of this Roman Empire, let's go to the 17th chapter, mother. So we just gonna play around with just this right here. Because we see we shorthanded, but we still gonna get the job done. So we go on to the 17th chapter, particular verse number 11. Revelation 17, verse 11. We're going to Revelation 17, and we're going to find out what is he saying here. The beast that thou sawest was and is not. So this beast was and is not. Find a little bit more what he's talking about, mother. We're going to Revelation 17, verse 11, and we'll read a little bit until we find out what it means by it was and was not. What is he saying? Remember, John is in captivity. He's on the Isle of Patmos. And he had to speak in cold, dark sand because the letter that he was writing to send to the seven churches, the congregation of Israel that was in Europe, they had to have this information to chew on about something was to come. So when John was writing this, his letter was to be read by the guard. And the letter could not be written where it was any offenses to the Roman Empire that put him in captivity. So he had talk and code, similar to mystery, dark sand. So his letter had all that in it. Now let's find a little bit more, Mother, by going to the 17th chapter and picking verse 11 down to verse 17. What does it say?
Book of Revelation, chapter 17, verses 11 to 17. Revelation chapter 17, verse 11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is the seventh and goeth into perdition. Verse 12. And the ten horns.
Well, hold on. That's all I want to get that one. Give me that one verse again. Read that one verse, Mother. I ain't no hurry to go nowhere because he. In that one verse, it tells a whole lot of stuff in that one verse, Mother. Just give me that one verse again, and let's deal with that one verse. So this will be a pretty good long series, Mother. But we're going to break this thing down well. Those that got to hear to hear that he wants to hear the truth, they're going to hear it. So now read that one. All I want that one verse, Mother. One verse. We're going to take one verse at a time. What's that one verse there again, Mother?
Revelation chapter 17, verse 11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seventh, and goeth into perdition.
Yeah, that's right. He said it's this beast, and we know the beast is a kingdom. We found that out by reading Daniel 7:17. The beast is a kingdom. So he's talking about the beast and why he called a beast a kingdom, because this beast, Mother, is really a system. But in the Ecclesiastes, Mother, Yahweh knows what he's doing, so, and he brought the young lion to get up in here, and that's a great thing. So Yahweh, he got the same color and grand style. Let's see if we bring the young lion in and get him on stage. One thing about it, see, we know one thing, the box tail been left, the curtain hair went up, and ain't no accident. What's going on? Everything is orchestrated through Yahweh. But the young lion came on stage, and we're gonna bring him in and see if he coming peacefully or hollering that microphone. We're gonna find out. Son of Micaiah, tribe of Yahweh Judah, up and coming teacher out of Camp 1. Yahweh be your see right.
Yahweh bless you there, Israel. Oh, see you, hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah. Well, that makes me happy. One thing about it, we're gonna reveal what we're dealing with. We're gonna reveal it, but we're gonna walk it down, and we ain't in no air. So, young man, can you tell the master Lord who all carrying this broadcast as we speak? Can you use the microphone and put them on the table. You're on the clock there. You're online.
All right, says Red C. Roy. Well, we know we live on Blog Talk Radio, but we also live on Pow Talk. And you can catch us at YouTube as well. You can type in those keys on that one eye Satan phone, that one eye devil laptop, that one eye devil smart TV or your desktop, one eye Satan of that too. You can type in on your laptop or any one of those things that you can get online with for YouTube at POTTY Tribe, YH DH. Once again, it's VOTTY, Tribe, YHDH. Type in if you want to catch any one of the previous broadcasts we have done before on Blog Talk, or if you want to catch something that we have went live on that you had the opportunity or that you didn't have the opportunity to listen to, go to Facebook, and you can type in for our page on Facebook, VOTTY. Once again, you can go to Facebook and catch any one of the previous broadcasts at VOTTY. Also, we have an online for Blog Talk as well. You can type in the keys, Tribe, YHDH, Voices of the True Israelites. You can type that in the keys, and you can also catch any one of the Blog Talk radio stations' previous broadcasts that we had uploaded on there. So we ask you guys to tune in, be big ears, little mouth, ask your questions. If you have any questions or comments, you can call in the international line at 224-600-5579. Once again, that number is 224-600-5579. We also say if you want to listen in on a broadcast like live right now with us today, you can tune in on the radio stations at 319-527-6065. If you want the Blog Talk radio station, tune in live with us at 319-527-6065. We just want to let you know on Sundays, Mondays, we'll be on the broadcast at 6 o'clock. And on Wednesdays and Thursdays, we're also in Wednesdays and Thursdays, we'll also be on the broadcast at 6 o'clock. And no class on Tuesdays unless you want to get on Pow Talk with us. If you want to get in on Pow Talk, scroll down to type in those keys, scroll down to African American, put in ethics, go to African American, then scroll down and put in VOTTY, and you can pull us up on Pow Talk. Also, if you want to tune in for the Sabbath day class, when the sun goes down Friday, the sun goes down Saturday, you can tune in with us from 7:30 until the class is over. Once again, on Fridays, you can start with us at 7:30. On Saturdays, we're in the bottom part of the Sabbath day. You can tune in at 2 o'clock. The air station will begin at 2 o'clock. So once again, we ask you guys just to ask questions, and we're ready to roll. We're going to give you the answers according to what we can read. And if we don't have an answer right then and there, be ready for some Daniel 2:16. Give us a little time, and we'll get back with you. Over to you, C. Israel, C. Roy. Hallelujah. Well.
All right. So now we found out mother, go back and read that verse one more time, mother, because don't feel God happy. And give me that Second Thessalonians 2 verse 3. Come back to that verse one more time.
Okay.
Come on back to that verse. And I want you to look up the definition of this word called what mother get ready to read, the son of somebody. After she reads, I want you to look up the definition what that word means.
Let me get that. Second Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition.
That man of sin. So this man, we find out this man of sin is the system. A system. That's what it is. This man of sin got to be revealed. And this system is son of perdition. Perdition. What that word mean, young lion, perdition? What that mean?
Okay. We're looking the word up, perdition. In the Google Dictionary, we're going to see what the word prediction means. P PERDITION. Okay. The word perdition means in the Google dictionary, and it reads, a state of eternal punishment and damnation into which a sinful and unpentient person passes after death.
Wow. Read that again there, young lion. That's big talk to death.
Mm-hmm. All right. Once again, it reads, a state of internal punishment and damnation into which a sinful and unpentient person passes after death. I have a second meaning for it as well. In a Merriam-Webster's dictionary, it means internal damnation.
So this song of perdition must go into what again, Al? You know what I mean?
Internal damnation.
Eternal damnation. That's it talking there. Eternal damnation. So the song of perdition, so we know the first part of it has already been taken care of. We find out that Judah, Benjamin, Levite in 21:20 of Luke. We know Judah, Benjamin, Levite is no longer in rulership, although a little of it spread into the land, but they know that part have happened. But the second part have not, the son of addition, and we read exactly, this is talking about a system, and it's talking about a government that has to be. And then we also read where the pledge of Legion of the United States of America, which is Republican. And we found out in the Monday night lesson, Republican came out of the Senate House. That's in Rome. So when you pledge and you're leading to the flag of the United States, which is the Republican, and we found out in Monday's lesson that Republican, it came out of Rome, and I think it's in 1 Maccabees, Young Lion 8:53, where it talks about a Senate House. So we see how the, we're not going to be in no big hurry to break this down all the way down. We want to go back in the book of 1 Maccabees chapter. Is it 8:53 where it talks about Rome, the origin of the Senate House, and how many men they had, and this is where that come out. So in 1 Maccabees there, young line, can you help us see out exactly what's going on in 1 Maccabees chapter? Is it 8:53? Come on.
All right. We're going to try our 1 Maccabees. You say chapter 8, and we want 53. You say when they talk about, you try.
Is that the Senate House? I'm looking for the Senate House there, young man. I'm looking for,
no.
Okay, I'm looking for the Senate House in 1 Maccabees. So what verses that, try 8:15, see what we got. 1 Maccabees 8:15.
Okay. We're going to 1 Maccabees. Chapter 8, that's right. 1 Maccabees, chapter 8, verse 15. Verse 15 reads, moreover, how they had made for themselves a Senate House, wherein 320 men sat in council daily, consulting always for the people to the end that they might be well ordered.
So we know that the system we're in now is the revival of the Roman Empire, because the United States of America is taking a little bit out of everybody. They're taking a little from ancient Rome. They're taking a little bit from the Babylonians, the Greeks. They're taking a little from everybody. And they combine it into a gumbo today. So, and we find out that mother bread has in the 17th chapter, young line, look at verse 11 again. So we know, then we find out that the Pledge of Allegiance, the origin of Pledge of Allegiance, it came, the elder read it. He read that Pledge of Allegiance in 1892. That was a revived Roman Empire, bringing back in the system of pledging your allegiance to the United States of the revived Roman Empire. That was the Republican. Because we just found out the Senate House was set up, and that's why we go through and take one. The legislative branch, the executive branch, the judicial branch, all that came out of Rome. And this is, we in what's called a revive of the Roman Empire. So that's why we have to walk this down, because the man of sin, that means a system that is set up by sin. And we found out the system was set up by Third Enoch, young lion. And Third Enoch, we read a Monday night lesson, so we're gonna read it. But Third Enoch 26:12 says, the Pope of Rome is controlled by Satan the devil. So the Vatican City today is controlled by Satan the devil. That's what we got. So now we got that all out the way. So now we find out this word perdition means what again, El? What did the word mean again, El? Young Lion?
The word perdition means eternal damnation.
Mm-hmm.
Now we want to go in the Thomas Bible Dictionary and look up Esau and see what they got in their own historical book that's changed to Esau. We want to see, can we tie that in and get the suspicions out the gate by going young line and looking up in Zama's Bible Dictionary about Edom or Esau. You should have a nice check mark on what part we need and what page you get ready to read it out of, and what is book you get ready to read out. What is the prophecy of Esau, Edom? The prophecy on it out of their own book. What is that?
All right. The book of, going to the Compact Bible Dictionary, down this verse, and going to page 142, and it reads, Edom figures prominently on page 142, it reads, Edom figures prominently in the prophetic scriptures as a sense of great future judgment. Okay, continue to read.
Yes.
He is the only neighbor of the Israelites who was not given any promise of mercy from Yahweh.
So, on page 146, there, young learner, it says the people he's talking about, this sort of addition that matches up with who again?
On the book of Zion, Compact Bible Dictionary, page 122. Edom.
What is that? Yes.
Prominently, the prophetic scriptures as the sense of great future judgment. She is the only neighbor of the Israelites who was not given any promise of mercy from Yahweh.
Ain't that something? So this song of addition, we really can play music, but we know we have to show I was there. We were going to play music for the rest of the night. So we found the Song of Addiction is who again?
Esau and his five sons.
You mean that's how easy it is to find out who the Song of Addiction is? But you know what?
Mm-hmm.
Well, we got, but we're going to beat it a little bit more. Now, good. So let's go to the 17th chapter, and now we can break this down. Now we can break that information that we have lined up. We should be able to break this down by using that Compact Bible Dictionary, page 142. The only people on the Bible, in the Bible, that have no forgiveness, Esau and his five sons. I wonder why not. Well, we see now Elder's microphone is back on again, but hey, Elder, why not? And can you help to see out in the book of Hebrews chapter 12, 16, and 17? Let's find out why not. Why they have, according to the Bible, Esau and his five sons have no mercy from Yahweh. Why is he so hot? Hey, Elder, but still, we're going to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16 and 17. Let's find out why. Elder, Mr. Tibbs, you're on the clock. Come on.
In the book of Hebrews, chapter 16. Okay, let's
chapter
look
12.
At that.
Chapter
12. Chapter 12, that makes sense.
Verse 16 and 17.
Chapter 12, looking at 16 and 17. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. 17. For ye know now that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully.
I knew that was.
With tears.
Although Esau cried up a storm, but one thing he couldn't do, young lion, was what? According to what we just got through reading, young lion, what Esau cannot do then, he won't do now. According to what we just got through reading about him, Esau has put himself in a position of something he, according to the 12th chapter, 16 and 17, what Esau is not going to do, although he's going to cry up a storm even to this day. What did he say that young man?
He has no place of repentance.
So you see that? So we waiting on people to say they're sorry for what they did. But the Bible is letting you know, as a nation, you might have a couple of individuals, might do so, but the individuals would not be able to make any kind of changes because this is all the way to the top. So the top of the system, they is not going to repent. And that's the reason why today you pick it and boycott for reparation. I mean, what's that word called? Help me out. What's that word we try to get for the 400 some years we got? It's a word called, can y'all help me out? Let's go see how it's a record. I can't pronounce it.
Reparation?
That's excellent. And we have a all saying that you owe us like you paid the Japanese for bombing them. You paid them, but why you can't pay up? See, and that's why we have to understand that man of sin, which is the sentence of Esau's system, must be revealed. Now, young man, now let's go and break this down with that understanding by going to the 17th chapter, and we're going to pick up verse 8. We're going to Revelation 17, verse 8. Now, with that understanding, now we got enough understanding to know who is this son of addition. And the word son of addition means destruction. That's what the word means. That means we're going to read some good stuff on the way of reason. Let's go to 17, verse 8 again, and let's break it down one line at a time. 17, verse 8 says what?
All right, going to the book of Revelation, chapter 17, picking up at verse number 8. Verse 8 reads, the beast that you saw is was and is not.
And stop right there. Stop right there. The beast that you saw, was and is not. So that means the beast that you saw and was and is not. So this beast was to, which is, give me Daniel, young line, 7 and 17. Give me Daniel chapter 7, verse 7 and 17.
All right. Move on over to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 7 and verse number 17. The book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 7 and verse number 17. So it reads, the book of Daniel, chapter 7, 7 reads, after this I saw in the night, this, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Verse 17.
He had 10 horns. So this is prophecy that Daniel saying this beast gonna have, he will have control over 10 horns. And we know, we have already read who the 10 horns that he will have control on the prophecy, that he would have control of 10 governments. 10 governments. He will have control over 10 governments. This beast right here. Okay, good. Verse 17. Let's talk about it in verse 17.
All right. We're going over to the book of Daniel, chapter 7. We want to read verse number 17. Verse 17 reads, these great beasts, which are four kings, which shall rise out of the earth.
Mm-hmm. So these four beasts are four king. The first king was Alexander, the one that's called Alexander the Greek, the Grecian Empire. That was the first one. That was the first descendants of Esau ruling. And after them came Rome, and Rome ruled. But And when we read now in the 17th verse number, he says, the beast that thou saw it was and is not. So this beast was going to go out of power. This beast was going to go out of power that are not. Pick it back up, mother. Now come on back again, mother, in the 17th chapter and pick it up at verse number 9. 9 down to verse 11. 9 down to verse 11, mother. We're going to Revelation chapter 17, 9 down to verse 11. 9 down to 11, mother. Take your time. Verse 9, 10, and 11. What does it say?
the book of Revelation, chapter 17, verses 9 to 11. Verse 9 reads, and that is the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. Verse 10. And these are seven kings. Five are fallen and one is. And the other is not yet come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. Verse 11. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven and goeth into perdition.
All right. Excellent. So now what are we going to find out, Mother? So we'll find out in verse number 11, the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth, and he of the seven, but will go into perdition. What the word perdition mean again in your lives?
Destruction.
It means eternal damnation. Destruction.
So, eternal damnation. So this beast, but he's coming out of the seven. So this beast gonna come out of the seven, and this beast gonna get his own rulership. It's gonna be the eighth beast, which means the eighth rulership, the system king, but it coming out the seventh, and it'll be diverse, different from everybody. Reason why? Because this beast right here gonna take on everybody's system. They're gonna take on ancient Babylon system. They're gonna take on ancient Rome, and we just found out it's taking on ancient Rome system. What was the name again, Elder? In 1882, you wrote it down, right, Elder? What was his name again? What did he revive in 1892, Elder?
Okay.
Elder, what was his name? And what did he do in 1892? What did he do?
The name was Francis Bellamy. He commemorated the 400th anniversary of Columbus' first voyage to the Americas.
And not only that, what did he do? What else he did in 1892? What else he do, Elder? He revived
the
pledge of allegiance of the United States to a republic. So he brought in the pledge of allegiance in 1892. He brought in the pledge of allegiance, and you know what they're going to school all our life, and we have to stand and stand before and pledge our allegiance to the United States of America, of which we stand, and we found out that was the Republican. And we found out the Republican came, that's the revival of the ancient Roman Empire. Because Republican was put together by Rome, and Young Lions in 1 Maccabees, chapter 8, verse 15 again there, because we got a whole lot of new. Remember, this network is packed jail. And we're just going to take our time and slow walk it down and break it all the way down on this series called Revealing the Number of the Beast 666, the Son of Perdition. Because we're going to find out who the Son of Perdition is now. So we know both parts have been fulfilled. We know who the Son of Perdition is. We found out the only one that Yahweh said he got no mercy coming for him. The sins of Esau and his five sons. So now we'll reveal that part, and we got a long way to go. So what you getting ready to read, that young line?
I'm about to read the book in 1 Maccabees, chapter 8, verse number 15. The book of 1 Maccabees, chapter 8, verse number 15. The book that was taken out of the Bible and by the Protestant church, part of the 14 books that they say that's missing. Verse number 15 reads, "Moreover, how they had made for themselves a senate house, wherein 320 men sat in the council daily, consulting a way for the people, to the end they might be well ordered."
Now, what do we have in the United States? Do we have a senate house and how many members? So now we know now, can you look up the origin? Right now, of the Senate House, the Senate House is only in the United States. Let's talk about the Senate House and how many members they got right now. Somebody help me out. This series right here, remember we got to reveal the Son of a Day, because we can show down that this is the facade of the Roman Empire. That means refurbished over the system of Rome, ancient Babylon, ancient Greece, ancient everything is all tied into the United States. All of it. Everything they have done, they look back at the old record and revive it. So now, tell me, in who carries the Senate seat today, and what country has the Senate seat? Let's see what your line or the hill will come up with on the Senate seat today. Who is that talking about today?
All right. We have in the Constitution where they talk about the Senate seat, I'm gonna go pull up something. It talks about in the Google Dictionary, it says, the Constitution prescribes that the Senate be composed of two senators from each state. Therefore, the Senate currently has 100 members, and that a senator must be at least 30 years of age, have been a citizen of the United States for 9 years, and when elected, be a resident of the state from which he or she come from.
So the Senate was revived from who?
For the United States, each saw in his five sons from Rome.
But where did they get it from? But where did they get it from?
They got it from Rome.
From ancient Rome. Ancient Rome is the one that first put it in the Constitution, and the United States have pulled out what ancient Rome had on the table back in 1 Maccabees 8:15. Mm-hmm. So that's again revised of the Roman Empire. Now, So we see now the system that we're in now, even the Constitution, even the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, that's a republican. That is revived of ancient Rome being brought back again. That's ancient Rome too. So that all came out of ancient Rome. The Son of Addition have pulled that out, and now we go to school and send our kids to school, and we stand up and pledge allegiance to Rome, to the Republic. And that was going on here. But it was told by John on the Isle of Patmos to put this information in 96 A.D. and send it to the seven congregation that's in the northern world.
Mm-hmm.
The northern world. Right? Good. So now, young Ryan is picking up at verse number 11 and 17, chapter 11. So we can stay on this part all the way for this lesson right here, but we will go a little further. Let's go to the seven 14th chapter of End Time Prophecy. Remember, John is on the Isle of Patmos. He locked up his wrist. Remember, when he right his left. Now, again, for those that knew, when you're in prison, when you write a letter, y'all lying, what happened when you write a letter or receive a letter? What happened? What got to happen?
Well, anytime you're incarcerated inside the United States, regardless if it's federal penitentiary or if it's state-level penitentiary, before you write a letter, I mean, when you write a letter and you get ready to send it out, you cannot seal up your letter.
You have to put your letter inside of the door. The officer's going to pick it up. They're going to send it to the mail room. They're going to hire a group of people to read your letter. They're going to read your letter when it go out to make sure there's nothing wrong. Any threats, bold statements, or anything inside of it, so they're going to security. They're going to secure your letter for any security threats. And then also, if any letters that's coming inside of the penitentiary, they're going to do the same thing. You're going to open up your letter before you receive it. They're going to give you consent that you can receive the letter, as long as it does not have any security threats towards the penitentiary or anything pertaining to Esau and his five sons. Also, unless it's legal mail. If it's legal mail coming from lawyers or attorney institution or something like that, they will bring you how you sign for it, and they're going to open the letter in front of you, flip it inside out, but they're not going to read it. Then they give you the letter. But it's always a security procedure before a letter goes out and before it comes in.
Next. So John was on the Isle of Patmos locked up in prison.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he was told to send it to seven churches with the children of Israel that was in Europe, he had to speak in code, similar to dark sand. He had to, hopefully, that the one they were sent to knew the Bible. And now, let's back up and read the 13th chapter. No, that's what I want, the 13th chapter. I want the 13th chapter, the young lion. I want 13 and look at the last three verses. So with that understanding, in his letter, remember, he writing his letter to the seven congregations of the children of Israel that scattered, that in powership, rulership in Europe. So now, let's come back to verse 15 to 18. Listen to this. Young lion, look at Revelation chapter 13, verse 15 down to verse 18. With that understanding, this is what's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 15 through 18. So now you know from reading 1, 9 through 11, John is in penitentiary. He's incarcerated. So he has to write totally different, because if he got anything, it was a threat to the Roman Empire, you know, he lost his life. So he had to speak in code, all type of, to pass to get it on. 15 through 18, listen to this. Let's read that 15 through 18.
All right, going over to the book of Revelation, chapter 13, and we want to read verse 15 down to verse 18. The book of Revelation, chapter 13, verse 15 down to verse number 18. Verse 15 reads, "And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed." Verse 16, "And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads." Verse 17, "And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast, or the number of his name." Verse 18, Here is wisdom. Let him that hath an understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 600, 66.
Wow. And it's the number of a man.
Mm-hmm.
His number is a number of a man, and it's 366. This is a number of a man. Okay. That's big topic there. So this man will be up under 666. And we found this man is the son of perdition.
Mm-hmm.
And that word means what?
It means perdition. It means eternal damnation and destruction.
So this man is to be destroyed. And his system. And his system is to be destroyed. But his system cannot be destroyed until you recognize who's running the system.
Mm-hmm.
Only the system will be destroyed. You got to find out, do you have the system marked? And we found the beast is, now back up and read 14 verse 9. I go to 14 verse 9. Back to read 14 verse 9. It's just so many ways to begin to deal with this. But look what he says in 14 verse 9. Let's read a little bit from 14 verse 9 there, young man. 14 verse 9.
All right, we're going over to the book of Revelation, chapter 14, and we want to read verse number 9. The book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse number 9. Verse 9 reads, and the third angel followed them, saying, with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand. Verse 10. The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Yahweh, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the righteous ministering spirit, the holy angels, and in the presence of the Lamb.
Wait a minute.
He left.
Wait a minute. Reverse line again now, young man. What is Memor? So, Memor, this is John writing to the seven churches, congregation of the children of Israel, that's in what you call Europe, the Vatican land. And he says, now, if any one of these seven churches of the children of Israel congregation, that's in Europe, do what in 14 verse 9? Now, remember, but hold that point. I got to bring that out. Hey, Elder. Come back to 1 verse 9 down to verse 11. I got to bring it out because, like I said again, we gonna milk this series. And once we come out of this series, if you don't recognize what is the mark of the beast and don't know what it means, it's because you just don't want to know what is the mark of the beast. You just don't want to know. So sit back up, Elder. 1 verse 9 through 11 in Revelation. If when we come out this series right here called Revealing the Number of the Beast, 666, the Son of Addition, we don't find out who the Son of Addition is. That means somebody's going to be destruction. And we find out who that is, Son of Addition is, the sentence of Esau in his five sons. Translated today as the white man and the white woman. We don't find that out, that part. And we found out the first part what the elder read. And Mother, read that again. Because we found this part don't happen in Luke chapter 21, verse 24, Mother Eve. We found out this half of this part has been revealed already. Unless we got ahead in the sand, our mother in Luke 21, 24, what is that, Mother Eve? Luke 21, 24.
The book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 24. Give me a minute. Luke, chapter 21, verse 24.
Yeah.
Luke, chapter 21, verse 24. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And shall that beauty shall be tormented, shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled.
So what? The Gentiles be revealed, right? Should it be what? What word you got there?
Fulfill.
All right. So Judah, Benjamin, and Levi were the last three to stand in the land of Israel, Southern Kingdom. They no longer in power no more. Judah, Benjamin, and Levi, they have been scattered. That part have been, and who tried down your homeland now? It's the Gentiles. And all you got to do, go on your TV, smartphone, anyway, and power who in the land, and the Gentiles in the land now in the sins of Esau. They don't want them running, but they're going to be there until their time be fulfilled. Their time cannot be fulfilled until they be revealed. See, you got to recognize the signs of the time, so all you got to do is look on your telephone and say to your smartphone, who that is in Jerusalem right now called Judah, and they'll show you the picture, and they are the sinners of Esau. So they right now they're trotting down your land, but you think you African American and Negro, you don't know that's your homeland because they have not been revealed to you, and your pastor won't show you nothing. But we're going to walk it down and show you Gentiles is trotting down your homeland because young lion in Galatians 4:26, and you have to see out about your homeland. See, when they ask you today, what is your homeland? You don't have a clue because you have been taught anything. Galatians 4:26, tell you what.
We're going over to the book of Galatians. We want to read chapter 4. We're going to pick it up at verse number 26. Going over to the book of Galatians, chapter 4, and we want to read verse number 26. The book of Galatians, chapter 4, verse 26 reads, but Jerusalem, Yadad Judah, which is above, is free, which is the mother of us all.
You see that? Our motherland is Jerusalem. Southern Kingdom, proper name, Judah. But right now we know we got those that have been, got degrees all on the wall. And you ask 99%, what is your motherland? First thing you want to say is Mother Africa. And that's why that prophecy would have not been fulfilled. Because 99% of the children of Israel don't even know they're not African-American Negroes. They are descendants of the book, and your motherland is the Southern Kingdom for Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. But you will graduate with degrees on the wall and don't know that. Jerusalem, which is Judah, is our motherland. Not that it's the land of Shem that is called by that name, Africa. That is Shem's land. But we don't know because we have not been taught anything. That's why the man of sin have not been revealed, but we're going to reveal him in this series. We're going to break him down, and we're going to enjoy, like the elder and the mother read earlier, we're going to enjoy this like 2 Kings 10:16. Read that, young lion. This is how we're going to enjoy this, 10:16. We're going to enjoy doing this like 2 Kings 10:16 says what, young lion?
Going over to the book of 2 Kings, and we want to read the verse number, we want to read the chapter 10, and we want verse number 16. The book of 2 Kings, we want chapter 10, and we want to read verse number 16. The book of 2 Kings, chapter 10, verse 16 reads, and he said, come with me and see my zeal for the Yahuwah. So they made him ride in his chair.
So we gonna show our zeal. So we gonna show our zeal and is that come see the sixth anointed camp zeal. We gonna show our zeal. That's what we gonna do. We gonna show our zeal.
And
we gonna that's what we gonna do. Sister B, out right outside in Camp 3, right outside of Kankakee. Y'all want me to see right here? Camp 3, right outside of Kankakee. We want to know if you are showing your zeal right outside of Kankakee. Showing your zeal. Here, get back to the left. We're going to mute her. Camp 3. All right. So now, Camp 3, you've been muted out. Because, you know, we know the big dignitary is in. Well, so we're going to show our zeal in this series. We're going to show this, mm-hmm. We're going to break this thing down to let you know exactly that Judah, Benjamin, and Levi have been kicked out of rulership out of the motherland, which is your motherland. So we just, if you got grandbabies, we ask you, where's your motherland at? Take them to Galatians 4:26. That is your motherland. Southern Kingdom, that's the one they call African American Negro. That's their motherland. They scattered mm-hmm. every nation of the sun through their own disobedience from not keeping the covenant. That's the reason you scattered. But until that man of sin be revealed, you're going to remain scattered. Because the man of sin got to be revealed. Because he's a son. The system that got to be destroyed. That's the way it is. I know. But see, Christianity would never teach you this. Yeah, could they? Could they be revealing things that make everybody break out running too quick to the six anointed caps called boys ever to in life? They can't tell you what we should tell you, now. Now, so we, in the 13th chapter there, young man, we read his number, read verse 17 again.
All right, we're going back over to the book of Revelation.
Yeah, I want to take a look at verse 17 again. And I'd like to know what you think that might mean. Verse 17, let's read verse 17.
All right, the book of Revelation chapter 13, verse number 17 reads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name.
Okay. Now back up to 14. So you're not going to be able to buy or sell unless you have a number of his mark, the mark of the beast. And we find out a mother Mother Eve. This beast is Ecclesiastes 3:18. What is this beast, Mother? This beast is what? Ecclesiastes 3:18. What is the beast, Mother? And Ecclesiastes verse 3:18.
That's the 3:18.
Mm-hmm.
Ecclesiastes chapter 3:18. I said in my mind concerning the estate of the sons of man, that Yahweh might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts.
So the beast is talking about a man. The man is a system. A man is a system. The man is one of the kings that run a system, a government. This man runs a government by the policies of revived ancient Rome. So this and you'll see all the traces once you got all the information. But what do you mean by you got to receive a mark in your hand and your forehead? Now, see, that's where the deep dark sands, when he was writing, remember he had to talk with deep dark sands. And he used it of similitude. He couldn't talk straight up because if he talked straight up, they could have recognized that he was sending out a threat. And if he's doing that, he was going to be threatened. Now, what is he talking about? A mark in your hand, a mark in your forehead. What is he talking about in Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10, that young man? What are you talking about? Where is this mark at in your hand and your forehead? See, the Bible got a double meaning to it. You got to recognize the Bible have a double meaning to it. And you read the Bible carnally, but to understand this Bible, you got to understand it spiritually. Now, the reason why he called it a beast, and you're not going to buy and sell, what are you talking about, young man? Give me Hebrews chapter 8, verse 10. And 11:26 of the book of Ezekiel, 11:26.
All right. We're going over first to the book of Hebrews, the book of the Israelites, chapter 8, verse number 10. Then we're going to skip down. We're going to go back and read Ezekiel, the seer, chapter 11, verse 26. Book of the Israelites, book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse number 10, read. For this is the covenant that I will make with the family of Israel. After those days, says Yahweh, YHWH, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their minds. And I will be to them a Yahweh, YHWH, and they shall be to me a people.
So you see, so these laws that he talking about, you're not going to be able to get a mark. He talking about these in your mind. See, it's in your mind, not your hand. Ain't nobody going to do no person can put a chip anywhere. That don't mean that you're lost your mind. You don't know what's going on. You still know what's going on. They got over there in Sweden now, they got those got chips all in their hands. They touch the doors. They got their bank account and all that. But their mind's still the same. They know they still know you have the American Negro. It don't change your mind. No. If you gotta know who controlling your mind. Your mind. See, you got to have Yahweh's laws in your mind or you have the beast with the man system in your mind. Which one you got in your mind that controls your hand and your brain? Okay, for example, The mark of the beast is in your mind. What do you do on a Saturday? Do you just watch the cars, go to the movie?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you do on a Saturday? Yahweh's mark on a Saturday is to have a righteous gathering. Do you do that? That means if you don't do it, you got the system mark. You got the mark already. You wait on something to happen, you got it already. Do you wear fringes in your clothes? No, that means you got the mark already. Because he told you in the 15th chapter, 37 through 40, children of Israel is to wear fringes. For I know in the fringes of mine you to keep the law. Do you pledge allegiance to the Republican of the flag of the Republican? The Republican was set up by Rome. Rome was set up by Satan the devil. So you got the mark every time you open your mouth. When you walk and you talk, you already got the mark of the system. And it's the system of a man, the revived Roman Empire. So you already been headed all the time. You wait on somebody to bring a chip. They can put a chip anywhere they want to put on you to buy and sell. That's going to change your mind from keeping the Saturday. They don't know about when you keep it a Saturday. And they know you're not keeping their day. Then they know that you contrary to. So we ain't going to tell you nothing. And that's why you're supposed to be starting your own garden. Got your own stuff starting to be growing and stuff, because you know it's going to happen. So mm-hmm. A lot of things that you need to know, so you already got the mark by being in the system of pledging allegiance to the flag, and you know you did it, your grandfathers did it, your kids did it. They stood before it, put their hands on their chest and said, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republican. The Republican mm-hmm. is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And Rome was set up by who in 26, second, Enoch 26, 12. Satan the devil set up Rome. The Vatican City is controlled by Rome. The military is the United States. So, which is the revived Roman Empire. So now, Ezekiel chapter 11, verse 19 says what? So this is what Yahweh is trying to tell you. Your hand, whether you receive a chip in your head, and listen, what that means is Ezekiel 11:19, what is that?
We're going over to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 11, verse number 19. We want the book of Ezekiel, the seer, chapter 11, verse 19.
Yeah.
Let me read. And I will give them one mind, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take the stony mind out of their flesh, and will give them a mind of flesh.
All he's saying, for the children of Israel, I'm going to send you teachers now to show you what the word is saying, and put the word of the Bible in your mind, and you get rid of the revived Roman Empire out of your head. Time to keep it. You'll do it Saturday. But right now, 95% of the children of Israel called a Negro. We keep Sunday. All of them. They keep Sunday. First day of the week. So you've been having the mob. You eat whole. Wow. You eat a bit. But you eat hog in the 11th chapter, so you don't eat that. So you've been had the mark all the time. You've been having the mark of the beast, which is the mark of a sense of our system all your life. Been having it all the time. You waiting on something to happen on TV, somebody put a chip or a barcode on you. Whatever happens, they put in you. It's because you don't know the scripture. That's going to change your mind from not worshiping Yahweh's Sabbath day, feast day, sitting on the fence on a godly day. So it says in verse number 36, verse 26 there, young line. Ezekiel 36, verse 26.
All right, we're going over to the book of Ezekiel this year. We're on chapter 36, verse number 26.
The book of Ezekiel this year, chapter 36, and we're going to read verse number 26. Verse 26 reads, "A new mind also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony mind out of your flesh, and I will give you an mind of flesh."
So you see, and that's what we come to do, to give you a mind, you understand, to take another look at this Bible, saying that the man of sin will be revealed in this series. But we've already revealed him already, but we ain't got halfway started on this man. You remember, this broadcast, you can come back on at 9:15. Catch the beginning of the broadcast and take notes. Help yourself to help others. We're going to take our time and walk this thing down. But we find out this, when John was saying about this beast, let's go 13 chapter, young line, 1, 2, 3, 4, the 13 chapter, back up to 1, 2, 3, 4. Let's see what we can read out of 13, 1, 2, 3, 4. But we find out in verse number 9, and that 14, verse 9, he's letting you know now, if you come back to the 14 chapter, young man. But we read 1, 2, 3, 4. Come back and let's look at it real carefully, 9 through 12. Let's look at it real carefully, 14 chapter, verse 9 through 12. So you know this beast is a system controlled by the sons of Esau, but they will be destroyed. How they will be destroyed? You otherwise mean by being destroyed, they will be out of ruling your mind, and they're going to feel prophecy because you're going to get your own mind back, and that's automatic on destroying them when you get your own mind back, because you will not be in places where you at today. So they will be taken out the way in your mind. I mean, what they do, if they walk left, you walk right. They walk right, you walk left. You will understand these things in time to come. So now, look what he says in 14, verse 9 through 12. And your mind going to deliver the knockout, but 14, chapter 9 through 12 says what?
The book of Revelation, 14, verse 9 down to verse number 12. Verse 9 reads, "And the third angel, ministering spirit."
14, 9 through 12.
I'm sorry, say it again.
Revelation 14, 9 down to verse 12.
Okay. The book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 9 down to verse 12. Verse 9 reads, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand," verse 10, "the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of Yahweh, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the righteous angels, holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb." Verse 11, "And the smoke of their torment ascended up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast of his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name." Verse 12, "Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of Yahweh the Father and the faith of Yahweh the Son."
That, So if you, you get his image, and you get the mark of his name, and if you get the mark of his, what's the mark of his name? Let's go to end time prophecy. Now, John is right from penitentiary, end time prophecy. What is the mark of his name? If you get the mark of his name, he said, I'm going to pour out my indignation without mix the mark of his name. What is the name? John is going to tell you about a name that is written in your Bible and verse 1 and 5, 17, 1 and 5. Now, young lion, deliver the knockout blow. In the 17th chapter of Revelation, remember, John is writing about a name. If you get the mark of this name, Yahweh say, I'm going to, he was writing to the seven churches, saying, somewhere down the line, they're going to get a name. But if they get that mark of that name, he's going to pour out without mixture. Let's find what he said in 17 verse 1, 2, and 5. Let's do 1, 2, and 5. Take your time there, young lion. I'm pulling for you to deliver the knockout blow.
All right.
17 chapter 5, verse 1, 2, and 5. What name, if you get in your head, that comes out your mouth, that Yahweh going to get you in time to come? Whip that out. 17, 1, 2, and 5. Come on.
Going over to the book of Revelation, chapter 1, 2, 5, and I'm going to add verse number 6 in there. The book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse reads, I mean, chapter 17, verse 1. Chapter 17, verse 1 reads, and there came one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, come here, I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sitteth upon many waters. Verse 2, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and the inhabitants of the earth have been made drunk of the wine of her fornication. Verse 5, and upon her forehead was a name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Verse 6, and I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the, and with the blood of the myrtle of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration.
The name that if you got that name in your forehead before he shut you down, and you lay down with that name Jesus, and you don't repent, that's the name he's going to pull out his spirit without measure. John is writing about a name that's going to come. He's writing the hereafter. The name, if you got this name in your head, and you don't repent and get this name out of your mouth, Jesus, he's going to pour out his spirit on you without mixture. The name of Jesus, somebody else.
Hallelujah.
We're going to the 13th chapter and read where that name Jesus came from. See, remember, the Bible have a double meaning. So you will be destroyed by having this name in your head when he sets you down. If you don't repent and remove this J-U-S-U-S out of your head, the man going to destroy you. Ready? The name is Jesus. John wrote about a name that was going to come, not in his day, but is in your day. And that name is Jesus. And that name coming from who? You can find where that name is coming from by going to Acts 13. You'll see whose name that is. So when you call on this Jesus name, you go into Acts 13 and find out exactly what his name come from, what his name means. 13th chapter. And we're going to pick it up at verse number 13, verse number 6 and 10. we're going to find what his name, Jesus, is already prophesied coming from. Who is behind this name called Jesus? Make it better. Jesus Christ. Who behind this name, Jesus Christ? We're going to find out right now. By going to 13 chapters, verse number 6 and verse 14. We're going to find out who behind Jesus Christ. 13. Think of the verse number 6 and 10. Come on there, young line.
The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 6 and verse number 10. Verse 6 reads, and when the book of Acts, chapter 13, verse 6, and when they had gone through the isles of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false seer, a Yada Judah, whose name was Bar-Jesus.
Well, they found a false pastor, shepherd. Oak, leader. They ain't found no false seer, because they don't sustain no false seer. They found the false pope. They found the false bishop, shepherd, teacher. That what they found was false. That what they found was false. That was his name. His name was called Bar Jesus, Son of Jesus. That was his name. Now let's find what the definition of the Son of Jesus is in verse 10.
The book of Acts, chapter 13, verse number 10. Verse 10 reads, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, you child of the devil, you enemy
of...
Hold that point.
So the name Son of Jesus is what? The child of the devil. That name comes from Satan, the devil. That Jesus Christ name came from Satan, the devil. That's where that name comes from. Jesus Christ. Paul said that he is the Son of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
He said, and it reads, verse 9, you child of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness. You will not cease to pervert the right way.
Mm-hmm. Let me read verse 6 of this young line. I got stumbled off in this word. And when they have gone through the Isle of Patmos, they found a sorcerer. He's a bewitcher. He is a bewitcher. A false pastor. Bishop. Tribe of Judah. Whose name is Bar-Jesus. That's his name. Bar-Jesus. And look what WCC said. He said, now, for that point, see, I'm cutting off the young line. He's too talking for tonight. And the elder, too talking for tonight. Well, mother, it's down to you and myself again, that mother. So Mother E, is Mother Z in there ready to give a commentary? We'll start for some time by seeing if Mother Z want to give a commentary on tape number 3. Hey, Mother Z, Tribal Yachtai Judah, you want to come
not
to the past and pass on? So what now, Mother?
Not coming on.
All right, good enough. Well, now, Mother, we're going to find out why do they call the beast. All four systems is like a beast. What if we can get out of this, Mother? Let's go to Jeremiah 15, verse 3. Because they'll mute everybody off the broadcast, Mother, just me and you, for a while, hollering in the microphone. In Jeremiah 15, verse 3, why did he say, beat, the beast. What he said about the beast, what that word he used about the beast? The mark of the beast.
Mm-hmm.
Why do he call these nations beasts? We're going to Jeremiah 15, verse 3 and find out, Mother. Let's find out, give him a comment after you read Jeremiah 15, verse 3.
Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 3. And I will appoint over them what kind, said Yahweh, the sword to slay, and the dogs to tear, and the fowls of the heaven, and the beasts of the earth to devour and destroy.
Be saying these four kingdoms, once they get part of you, they're going to treat you like a beast. They're going to treat you like a dog. They're going to treat you like a beast. You know, if a beast, you go out there in them jungles long enough and let a beast catch you off balance, that beast is trying best to devour you. You know, you want your big beast to get a hand on you, you know, because a big beast got a cut in it too. So if they catch you with your back turned and you don't see the beast will try his best to put you in the mouth. He said a full system that you're going to run into going to be on you like a beast. And what is the full system called? First was Alexander the Great, Greece. The second was Rome. The third one was, I can go Portugal and Spain. I can go France and Great Britain. I can go five just off the top of my head. And out of the five came the United States of America. They came out of the five. And that's what he says right here. Mother, I come back to the 17th chapter. It tells you that in 17 verse 11. See, John is talking cold. He's sending all kind of signals to the churches that was in Europe. Look what he says in Revelation 17, verse 11.
Book of Revelation, chapter 17, verse 11, read. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seven, and gone into perdition.
And he gonna be, and he will be destroyed. And he will be destroyed. But this right here, so this government gonna come out of the seven, which is the eight. So he gonna come out of the seven. The United States came out of Great Britain, formed their own thing in 1776. But they came out of Great Britain, the seven. They become the eight. And they are, and now they are bad rule. Matter of fact, let's read that, Mother. Let's go to the Red Book. Let's find out something, Mother, real quick. Let's find out something. We're back away from this. We're going to enjoy this series. Are we just going to play it by ear? In the book of Maccabees, Mother, we want to find out something. I mean, Second Ezra. Sorry about that. Second Ezra. We want to read some out of Second Ezra, Mother. We want to read 11, verse 40. We'll look at 11, verse 40. In the second book of Ezra, chapter 11, pick it up at verse number 36 down to verse 46. Let's go and enjoy this right here, Mother. We're going to enjoy this right here. This is end time prophecy, Mother. Let's see what it says in 2 Ezra, chapter 11, verse 36 to 46. And we'll close out with this. We'll come back on it again tomorrow at 6 o'clock. And we'll get some more of this. But let's read the end time prophecy, Mother. 2 Ezra, chapter 11, 36 down to verse 46. It's all yours in the closing statement. Come on.
Second Ezra chapter 11, verse 36 to 46. Second Ezra chapter 11, verse 36. Then I heard a voice which said unto me, look before thee and consider the thing that thou seest. 37. And I beheld, and lo, as it were a roaring lion chasing out of the wood. And I saw that he sent out a man's voice unto the eagle, and said, hear thy, I will take with thee, and the height shall say unto thee, I will talk with thee.
Yeah, I'm gonna talk with you. Yeah, go ahead. Verse 39, right there, mother. I need so this lion getting ready to talk to this eagle. The lion, similitude, getting ready to talk to the eagle. Similitude. The lion is Yahweh the son, getting ready to talk to the descendants of Esau, which is the eagle, and it got the eagle sign today. 39.
Verse 39. Are not thy it that remaineth of the four beasts whom I made to reign over my world, that the end of their times might come through them?
So it'll be no ruler after them but you and me. So the fourth kingdom, so it will be none happening in town. The last rulership is this fourth beast. One is the revived Roman Empire called United States of America. So there it is, the fourth kingdom. This is it. This is that beast that treats you like a beast. Right now, he's talking about this. The end will come through this fourth kingdom once they reveal. What is it in verse 40?
Verse 40. And the folk came and overcome all the beasts that were paid and had power over the world with great fearfulness and over the whole companion of the earth with much wicked oppression, and so long time dwell he upon the earth with deceit.
What do you mean? Hold on, mother. So now Rome never ruled the whole world. All the nation that ever ruled the whole world is the United States. The United States is the one who ruled everybody. So this is not talking about ancient Rome. This is revived Roman. This is what came out in 1776. The only country that fit this today is the United States. They rule over everybody. They got embassies in everywhere, military bases all over the world. This is that fourth kingdom they're talking about. This is prophecy talking about the United States. Just don't have a name, but you got to put it together yourself. The United States knocked off France, Spain, and Great Britain and took over everything. They Louisiana Purchase in 1803. They knocked off France. They knocked off Great Britain. They knocked off Spain. They knocked all of them out, and they become the sole ruler to this day. 41.
For the earth has thou not judged with truth.
You see, you ain't judged this earth by truth. You've been lying everywhere. You've been saying that y'all run things from Europe and ain't nobody greater than America. which is revived Roman Empire. You see that thing? Go ahead and read some more. 42.
Verse 42. But thus has afflicted the meek, thus has hurt the peaceable, thus has loved lying and destroyed the dwelling of them that brought forth that truth, and has cast down the walls of such as did be no harm.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 43. Threaten is they wonderful dealing cometh up unto the height, and they proud unto the mighty. Verse 44. The height also has looked upon the proud time, and behold, they are ended, and his abomination are fulfilled. 45. And therefore appear no more thou eagle, nor thou harbor wing, nor thou wicked feathers, nor thou malice head, malicious head, nor their harmful claws, nor all their vain body. 46. That all the earth may be refreshed and may return, being delivered from their violence, and that she may hope for the judgment and mercy of him that made her.
Yeah. So now, so we clear who it is that's run things by lying, kicking everybody in the ring, got everybody too scared to open the mouth, ain't got no zeal. Stop it right there. You dust your pot and grand style, mother, all you can say. Mother E, Mother Z, the elders, the teachers, the brothers, the sisters, everybody done their part in grand style. You get back on again tomorrow at 6 o'clock, mother. Remember, we're going to reveal this thing and lay it out like a teaspoon. And the man of sin will be revealed with his sins of Esau and his five sons. Translate a day after the white man and the white woman that's in power today. The revived Roman Empire, that's the United States of America. Mother, closing statement is all yours. Take your time and give your closing statement. You've done your part in grand style. Come on.
Okay. Just thanking and praising Yahweh for this class. Thanking and praising Yahweh for the listeners. Thanking and praising Yahweh for the teachers. And I'm going to read, after Red Book, Ecclesiastes, Torah, chapter